You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Do you ever wonder what a woman really thinks about?
Doctor Who.
Harry Potter.
Lust.
Orphan Black.
Grimm.
Space. The
Fear
Final
the
Frontier.
Walking
Outlander.
Dead.
Star Wars.
Heroes and Heroes Reborn.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent Carter.
Mr. Robot.
Lord of the Rings.
I, Zombie.
Stargate.
Alien.
The Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas
The Marvel Man. Movie.
Penny Dreadful.
Walking Dead.
X-Men. Cosmos.
Firefly.
Game of Thrones.
Harry Dresden.
The Return.
The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Teen Wolf.
Sherlock.
Battlestar Galactica.
Sleepy
Hollow.
Star Trek.
Torchwood.
Guardians
of the
Galaxy.
All you have to do is listen. This is Sci-Fi for Chicks. What else am I into? There has to be more. I can't think of anything right now.
Welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks. This is the premiere episode of our new Women of Genre series, where we're going to look at female characters in some of our favorite movies, books, TV shows, and more. I'm really excited about this series because for the past year, Alex and I have been podcasting pretty much solely on TV shows, doing episodic recaps. We've done Sleepy Hollow and Gotham, iZombie, and two seasons of Orphan Black. And while I've loved doing that, and I'm not just saying that because Alex will hurt me if I didn't say that, we really wanted to talk about more than just a few TV shows, and I really want to get more of the chicks involved that are part of sci-fi4me.com. We all have such varied interests, and I think this is really going to open it up where we can have those discussions about so many different things. We're going to be jumping around. We have coming up ones on the women of The Walking Dead, the women of Grimm, Doctor Who, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and so many more that are coming up. We're going to be looking at books. We're going to be talking about women scientists and women in the tech field and behind the camera. We're going to start, though, with this first one with the women of Jurassic Park.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
My name is Heather French, and I'm joined by two of my best friends and fellow geek girls, Doreen Shadle. Hi, Doreen.
Hello.
And Jennifer Stoba.
Hello.
I really like that we're talking about Jurassic Park because the three of us saw Jurassic Park when it premiered on, I think it was June 11th, 1993. We were very young. We were, what, like four, five, right?
Oh, yeah.
Three.
Mom dropped us off.
We saw that on opening day. Had a blast. It was a really great one. We saw that at North Park 1. In Dallas, RIP, North Park 1, because that was a wonderful theater. And we made a point this summer of seeing Jurassic World on opening day together. That one was at the AMC Village on the Parkway, I think it was, in Addison. Not the same experience as the Gigantor 1,000-seat theater that North Park was. This was 3D. This had the reclining leather seats. It had the motion. So every time a dinosaur stomped,
you felt it.
You felt it.
And your seats vibrated.
It was awesome. Mm-hmm. So, so awesome. What really got you into the idea of the Jurassic Park movies? I mean, what sucked you in, Jen?
Oh, the CGI sucked me in back in when the first one came out, because I was really interested in the computers and film, the mix of them together.
What about you, Doreen?
Same for me, but not as much as the... Just the fact that it was so realistic looking. And that was just kind of the first time to see something like that on the big screen where it was hard to tell that it was generated.
So. Yeah, and there were so many that it felt like it was really there, that they're really filming with an actual dinosaur, to the point where I think it's still circulating out there. There's a picture of Steven Spielberg in front of the trike, the injured trike that they found when they were out there, that people think that Steven Spielberg's a big game hunter.
Yeah.
And killed this animal.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
people. It's not real.
I wanted to see it because I loved dinosaurs when I was a kid. I had a little, I had an imaginary T-Rex, Rexy, imaginary trike. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. You know, I was young. I was little. I was, what, like 14, 15 years old?
We all like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I really wanted to see this. And these movies... Well, I will admit, they're not necessarily on analysis the best. They have great moments, and I loved each one of them. Well, no, I will admit, I did not like 2 when I first saw it, because it's too King Kong-y, but they all have this action and this wonder that I think is really, really I do want to give a spoiler alert. If you have not seen through Jurassic World, the most recent one, we will be talking about that because we did see it. But also a disclaimer. We might not have seen all of these movies very recently. I've seen 1, 3, and 4 this summer. I haven't seen 2 in years. What about you, Jen?
Before we went to go see Jurassic World, I saw 1, 2, and 3. So, what was that, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little under, yeah.
So you'll be our expert.
I've only seen
I've only seen 1 and 2, and both of those not recently. And I never saw 3, so.
Yeah. Well, and I remember saying, oh, 3's good. You'd like 3. Well, I recently rewatched 3 again, and I guess we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to 3. Let's go ahead and start back with what started it all, which actually was the novel by Michael Crichton, which was optioned before it was ever published. Universal and Steven Spielberg optioned this. He's not even done writing it. So we knew this was coming out there. Did either of you, well, I know you probably didn't. Did you read the novel?
I read the book, but it was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I read it too. And I actually really like the changes that Spielberg made. And one of the changes was making our first female character, Dr. Ellie Sattler, not be the grad student. She's an equal of Alan Grant. They're both doctors. And I really like that. So Dr. Ellie Sattler, played by Laura Dern, let's talk about her a little bit in the first movie. What were your impressions of Ellie when we first meet her and throughout the film?
I really liked her. I mean, they obviously made her very likable and you know, she was very smart. She wasn't just a pretty face. She knew what she was talking about. And her enthusiasm for the dinosaurs in the park just kind of radiated from her.
Mm-hmm. I like how strong of a woman she is.
Definitely.
She can command the dinosaurs and survive the dinosaurs better than the men.
Exactly. I think that's really great because they did make that change. Ellie was this minor character.
Yeah.
In the books. And she really was Ellie. I mean, something that I noticed in the movies that they don't do this, but something that reviewers do, and this includes geek reviewers when they're talking about the Jurassic Park movies, they always call her Ellie, and they always call Sam Neill's character Grant, or Dr. Grant. And I'm like, she's a doctor too. They're equals. He doesn't treat everybody as equals. He treats her as more than an equal. I mean, he says this through body language, and even later in Jurassic Park 3, this is somebody who is strong, smart, confident. She doesn't have to prove herself. She just is this really intelligent, strong woman who's not afraid to still be a woman, but...
And she knows how to handle not only dinosaurs, but men.
Exactly. She does kind of get the better of both, I think, Grant and Malcolm.
Oh, yeah.
In there. I think she's a really great character. The change that they did make, making her an equal and not somebody that these guys can just brush off, that she's contributing. Remember that conversation that they all had around the dinner table when Hammond's thinking, oh, the dinosaur lovers are just going to be on my side. And the only one that was on his side was the blood-sucking lawyer, I think is what he called it.
Right.
She's throwing in just as many things of like, you're not thinking about this, and what about that?
Well, the question is, how can you know anything about an extinct ecosystem? And therefore, how could you ever assume that you can control it? When you have plants in this building that are poisonous, you pick them because they look good, but these are aggressive living things that have no idea what century they're in, and they'll defend themselves violently if necessary.
And it's a very smart observation. I mean, she's the one that goes and sticks her hand in the poop to find out why the Triceratops is actually sick. The doctor wasn't able to. And that's Dr. Jerry Harding, who we find out in the books is actually the father of Dr. Sarah Harding from Jurassic Park 2. So he does have this common connection. But here's the smart guy. He didn't pick up on it. And he's there on the island. She's there, what, like hour tops? And she's already figured it out. What did you think of Laura Dern's portrayal of Ellie?
Oh, I think it was great. She was brilliant, I would say. You know, the strong woman. She was going to go off and take care of the raptors, getting the lights back on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he made a sexist comment like, you should stay, and I'm going to go because I'm a man and you're a woman.
It ought to be me really going.
Why?
Well, I'm on your own.
Look.
Come on, let's go.
We can discuss sexism and survival situations when I get back. You just take me through this step by step. I'm on channel 2.
And then she rolled her eyes and she went off.
Yeah, that was a really great scene because they have this. Obviously, she's a beautiful woman. She's, you know, she's not this great big hulking thing, you know, so we, natural instinct is for them to protect her. And she's like, oh, come on, please. You know, it's really, you should go out there and do this. I'm totally capable. And it's just not even.
Yeah.
She did that throughout the whole thing. I mean, she's the one that goes back out to help find Malcolm. Jeff Goldblum's character, and brings him back. I mean, the only time she really screams is when the T-Rex is quite literally breathing down her neck. And I would say that if a T-Rex was coming towards me in that situation, I would freak out a little bit too, but she still kept her composure throughout everything. Even when, like, with John Arnold's arm on her, when she's like, oh, Mr. Arnold, I get the power back on, and then it turns out he's been eaten by a raptor.
She had some of the best quotes.
She did.
When she's talking to Malcolm.
God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth.
Yeah, she's not threatening. But she's also very, like, her place to me is at the top of this pyramid mm-hmm. when it comes to smarts and actions and things. What did you think about, we do have her kind of getting a little bit motherly there, you know, trying to get Grant to like children a little bit more. I mean, they did establish that these two did have a relationship. It's pretty obvious when we start the movie that these two are in some kind of relationship long term. They're very comfortable with each other. It looks like they're talking about children. You don't necessarily just talk that way about children with just a coworker.
The thing I really love about Ellie is that she's a strong woman who's maternal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in vast contrast to the Howard's character in Jurassic World, where she is a strong woman, but she doesn't believe, she's not maternal at all. So the contrast between the two characters is interesting.
Well, it doesn't make her less. It doesn't make her cloud her judgment. It doesn't, just because she's trying to help these kids.
Yeah.
Or be with these kids or like these kids, doesn't mean that she's throwing logic out the window, which I think we see a lot of times in stories in general, that anytime a woman has the kid around, do anything for the child. I don't care what else happens, which again, we'll see. In Jurassic Park 3, Amanda Kirby's character, once she's reunited with her son and with the pterodons, she doesn't care what happens, even to the guy that just rescued her son. She's like, whatever, I've got my son back, and that's all that matters. It's true. You didn't see that one, so
no,
you can't.
I missed that one.
I really like her character, and I like how Laura Dern portrayed her. I saw the vulnerability, but I didn't see her ever use anything as a weakness or a, you know, something that made anything less. Even that scene with her and Hammond with the melting ice cream.
It's still the flea circus. It's all an illusion.
When we have control again.
You never had control. That's the illusion. I was overwhelmed by the power of this place. But I made a mistake too. I didn't have enough respect for that power, and it's out now. The only thing that matters now are the people we love. Alan and Lex and Tim. John, they're out there where people are dying. So, it's good.
Spared no expense.
I thought that was a nice, touching scene that I think only she could have gotten from Hammond and only gotten him to realize what was going on. You know, he was still trying to be in this flea circus. And she's like, you know, snap out of it. You know, it's right here. I really, really like her character. Anything?
No, I did too. And I love Laura Dern. I mean, I couldn't imagine anyone else in that role.
Yeah, she really was perfectly cast for that.
Yeah, she really was. And, you know, she's, like I said, she's a beautiful woman, but she's also not like the supermodel. You know, she was just believable and you know, strong.
She was, I think, very integral. And I think them making her a major character from the book where she wasn't, I think it was really vital and needed. There's a little statistic that I didn't tell you guys yet. This podcast really shouldn't take that long, because if we're talking about the women of Jurassic Park, I think I counted there's 54 roles in the movie. 9 of them are women out of 54. And several of those are smaller, like the assistant or something like that.
Are we going to hit on all the female dinosaurs?
There's... Okay, except for the thousands of female dinosaurs. Yeah, see, you just blew my little fun there. I was looking at that, and I was actually astounded by that fact. And if they had stuck to Jurassic Park, the book, our two female characters in Jurassic Park would be much less substantial. And I don't know that I would have liked it so much still 22 years later if it had been just this total testosterone fest with the girls doing the Fay Wray thing in the background. Because even our next character, Lex, she was, I think in the book, she's younger and she's more of a tomboy. She's into sports, but she's very E. She's not. She has her time, which again, when you suddenly have a T-Rex staring down your throat, and that's the first time you've seen it, I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
But now we have an older character. I think she's probably like 10, 12, Arianna Richards, and playing Lex, who's now also a computer nerd. And I love this because this is 1993.
And a vegetarian, if I remember right.
Yes, she's a vegetarian.
What's going to happen to them? He's going to eat the goat? Excellent.
What's the matter, kid? You never had lamb chops?
I happen to be a vegetarian.
She's like Lisa Simpson.
It's a real saxophone.
Without the saxophone. I wonder if that would have calmed the dinosaurs down a little bit. She had some great lines. She's got this innocence about her, but she's not naive. She's just not been in these situations before. She handles herself quite well, I think.
I think of all the Jurassic Park movies, I would want my young girl to watch the first Jurassic Park, because I think it has the best roles for the women.
Mm-hmm.
By far.
Definitely. What did you think about her being a computer geek? Like I said, this is 1993. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't have a computer. I mean, this is when AOL was still this new, wonderful, brave, glorious future, and only, you know, super smart geeks knew anything. This is back in the days of DOS, you know, MS-DOS. And
I'm a computer person, so I loved it when she said, like, this is Unix.
It's a Unix system.
Just clicks in. She hasn't really figured out what she can contribute throughout this except for staying alive and keeping her brother alive. She knows this.
Mm-hmm.
And she saved their butts.
Oh, yeah.
While Ellie is the one that's also throwing herself up against the door to keep the raptors from coming in, the women are more than holding their own in this.
Yes.
I definitely think so. I mean, even Tim is the one that's supposed to know everything about dinosaurs. But Lex is the one that is figuring out how to keep them alive while they're being hunted by these raptors.
Do you remember the kitchen scene?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with them running around and she's guiding her brother.
And
the
does
kitchen.
The ladle thing to make it go the other way.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought it was really brilliant. Again, Lex in the book, nothing like this. And the fact that, I mean, they changed Hammond's character too, because Hammond in the book was very much different. He was not this loving grandfather. He was not this wide-eyed mm-hmm. wonder flea circus. He wants to share this with this world. He was the money grubber, evil, wah, kind of thing in there. And, by the way, this is where, you know, like, if we get something wrong, feel free to let us know, because, you know, we haven't necessarily seen all these. So if I'm remembering this book wrong, feel free to let me know. But I remember I didn't like Hammond at all in the book. And I'm wondering, why would these kids be with this guy? Why would they love this guy? Why would they want to come here and do this? In the movie, I totally buy it. And I can see this connection that the kids have with him, and that Lex, you know, why, how she fits into the family. I really do, because she just really seems to have that same kind of wonder that he does, and this wanting to do more and figure out. And I love her. I just love her with the computer.
Girl power.
Girl power. Total right girl on. Power. It's it was a nice change. Because like I said, in the book, she's just a little tomboy who didn't really seem to
contribute.
Yeah, yeah. Just the kid. We need a kid. We need a female kid. And I agree with you. I think this is the one that if you have a small child, once they get a girl, once they can get past the dinosaurs, yeah. Which if my nephew at 2 years old, 3 years old can watch the dinosaurs, because it's a movie, your kid might too. But I think it definitely has the best views. We have smart girls. We have strong girls, girls that are still vulnerable.
Maternal,
very family oriented, are caring, you know, it's, and I love that they both have their eyes full of wonder. I mean, like when they're on that first tour, they're both looking, it's like, oh, I want to see you. Where are the dinosaurs? Of course, they don't show up. You just see the connections. They make a lot of really good human connections, I think. And I mean, like Lex, she's looking out for Tim, her little brother. It's very nice. So we have then it going to Jurassic Park 2. Jurassic Park 2, Steven Spielberg wanted to do because Jurassic Park 1 was such a hit. So he actually got Crichton to write a sequel. So we already knew the movie was coming out before the book was even written. And from what I've read in Wikipedia, I'm going to be honest, because I really did not like Jurassic Park 2 at all. So I definitely didn't read the book. It also has a lot of divergence there. We have in Jurassic Park 1, the two female characters, Ellie and Lex. In Jurassic Park 2, we have Julianne Moore playing Dr. Sarah Harding, who, like I said, we find out in the book is the daughter of Dr. Jerry Harding, who had taken care of the trike in the first movie. We also have Kelly Curtis Malcolm, played by Vanessa Lee Chester. She's a composite of two teenage girls, one who was Malcolm's daughter and one who was in her African-American friend. We now have combined these two together. And, yeah, except for all the female dinosaurs, that's it. We have our two girls. So you guys have seen this one more. I really have not seen it much because, to me, it's King Kong. Hey, let's go there, take this big creature back to civilization, and look, be surprised when it wreaks havoc. What did you guys think of the movie and of our women in this?
I think your analysis of the movie is pretty good, yeah. Actually. I didn't really like the movie that much.
And I wasn't drawn to either of the female characters. They were, I don't know, it was just a ridiculous story. It was very predictable because it was the King Kong story. And yeah, I just didn't care for either of them. Neither of them seemed particularly strong or smart, you know. Especially the doctor. It's just like, oh yeah, let's just, you know, like you said, let's bring the T-Rex to big city.
Well, and didn't they, like, so they find this injured T-Rex baby and mm-hmm. they take it back to their camp? Yeah. I forgot about that. I mean, I remember the sequence. Yes. The sequence of all the stuff, the cars hanging off the side. Yes, that was a great action sequence. Wow, that must have been great to film. It was very tense. But when you think about it, they brought an injured baby T-Rex back to their camp.
So for a woman who's supposed to be, like, knowledgeable about the dinosaurs and how they interact, why would she do that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, we're high. And this is the safest place you can be, I think. Remember what Sarah said before? These plants make it so the animals won't even know you're here.
You're trying to make me feel better. I remember all those stories you told.
Oh, no, no. This is nothing like that. We're in a completely different situation right now. Eddie, is there any way we can communicate with the trailers?
He's moving again. Give him more morphine.
We have no idea what his metabolism is, but kill him with too much. We'll put him into respiratory arrest. Nick, I need your hand here. Right here. Put some pressure there.
No answer. What a surprise. How do I get down?
A bottle of amoxicillin and fill a syringe. Quick injection of antibiotics, and I can get him out of here.
For once in your life. Would it kill you to pick it up? Help me get this thing out of here.
No, we just have to...
Mommy's very angry.
You know, would Ellie have done that?
No.
I mean, I guess you can say she wanted to help the baby T-Rex, but at the same time, you know the mother's out there. It's not like a deer where, well, chances are the mother got hit, or a deer's not going to come knock over your Winnebago across the over a cliff. But, you know, if they knew for sure the T-Rex mom was perished, then I can see it. But no, it's like, yeah, you're just asking for trouble. Hello.
That was pretty ridiculous for me. And, I mean, this is Julianne Moore, who's no slouch when it comes to acting at all. She's very good, but there was a lot of stupid things like that. I also didn't like a trope that they just started this entire thing with, that she is Ian Malcolm's girlfriend. So knowing that she's the daughter... knowing this backstory now, knowing that she's the daughter of the scientist that was on Jurassic Park, and that they got Ian Malcolm to come to the island as one of the scientists to sign off on it, I always thought, why did they get Ian Malcolm to sign off on this park? He's a mathematician. He's into chaos theory. How is this going to do it? Well, it's obvious. He's dating Sarah Harding, Julianne Moore's character. Well, I happen to know a scientist who's not a paleontologist, so maybe we can get, if we get somebody else. It just... there's all these just little tropes of course they're dating, and that's why he has to go to the island to find her. And of course his daughter Kelly, who is feeling neglected, smuggles herself onto the cargo container, whatever it is, to go to the island too. It was like trope after trope after trope that just, and then it was King Kong, but without the cute fuzzy creature at the end.
Yeah. It's a good analysis.
Yeah, not much more can be said.
You two have seen it more recently than I have. Did you feel for either of these characters? Did either of them? I mean, we have the same thing. We have a doctor, a female doctor in both, Dr. Ellie Sattler, Dr. Sarah Harding. We have a preteen girl in both. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we have the exact same pairing here.
So if you compare Ellie and Sarah, to me, they're both... Sarah's, they try to portray her as a strong woman, but it doesn't work for me. Like, Ellie is the stereotypical... not stereotypical, but she is a strong woman. Sarah is a stereotypical strong woman where they try to pass her off having the qualities, but she comes off... it's a failure to me.
Makes unintelligent choices.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we had this formula in the first one. I've got to write this book fast. We've got to write this movie fast. It worked in the first one. Let's do it again, but we'll change it up a little. And that's not how you write good characters, is
no, by doing that. I honestly didn't even care for Kelly at all. I mean, she didn't... I had no connection with her whatsoever. I thought she was stupid,
Spoiled.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm glad she didn't get killed, but I just didn't,
And it's not anything against the actress. It's the role that was written for her.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a big shocker. Oh, Malcolm's daughter is an African-American girl. Ooh, wow, such a shocker. I'm like, really? This is your main hook with this character, that she's African-American. Our main hook with Lex was, she's got her baseball hat on, so she still likes sports, and she's the big sister, but she's the vegetarian, and she's the computer girl who's going to save all, and I don't remember Kelly doing anything.
No, she was just in the way. A nuisance.
As you can tell, we really didn't like Jurassic Park 2 that much. Which is why I probably said, watch Jurassic Park 3. I think you'll like it. You haven't seen it, you didn't skip 2. 2 I didn't like 2. Because it's King Kong without all the fur. And then I watched Jurassic Park 3 again a few weeks ago. And we've gone down to now just one female character. We have Taya Leone playing Amanda Kirby. And I think what upsets me the most is that I know that Taya Leone can play incredible female characters that have such diversity, that have such background. I mean, right now she's on Madam Secretary on CBS, I think it is. Phenomenal series, and she stretches her acting muscles all over the place. At the time, I know she was kind of in some more quirky hits, but I could see it was there. But we have Amanda Kirby, who is basically the mother of the kid, Eric Kirby. Her and her husband are divorcing. She is with, or are divorced. I don't know. There's a pattern here, because the kids in the first movie are there because their parents are getting a divorce. And in the second movie, we have the divorced Kelly is product of a divorced family there with Ian and the mother. And now we have these two divorced parents with William H. Macy and Taya Leone. And she's seeing this other guy and has this kid, and they get to go off on this adventure, and the kid and the boyfriend get lost on an island that happens to have dinosaurs. And so they, of course, go to Alan Grant to help rescue them. And because he's the dinosaur expert. So we do get somebody back from the first movie, which was nice. Yeah, again, this was a disappointment to me in rewatching. She is only focused on her child. I get it. I do get that. Full disclosure here, none of us have kids. But I do get that. But the character is so solely focused on that, she does stupid thing after stupid thing after stupid thing. I mean... She's yelling. They land when Alan finally comes to, because they knock him out on the plane to get there so he doesn't rattle. When they land, he hears her out there yelling on a megaphone for the sun.
What's a bad idea?
I would have done it. Are you this daft? I wouldn't even do that on an island full of dogs, because you would get mauled and licked to death. Where are your treats? She just continually stupid thing after stupid thing after stupid thing. And yeah, I thought I liked 3. And after watching it again, I shouldn't have watched it again.
So I guess I shouldn't watch it then?
3 is better than 2, though.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. I'd have to watch it.
It has some good action. I think maybe because I was looking at it really for this to look at her. I mean, they really do this separation too with her that really... They make her different. They make her the female in trouble. She's always screaming at things. And I know this seems superficial. She's dressed in like yellows and pinks and whites when they're in the jungle, and all the other guys are dressed in camo, you know, dark colors and things to try and blend in. Everybody else has to carry something, but oh, no. She can't carry anything because she's the woman. There's all these little stereotypes, and I even see it in how the characters treat her, because Alan Grant, like I said before, he talks to Ellie. She is so his equal, he doesn't even think that there's a possibility that they're not equal. When they talk in the beginning, it's so simpatico. He just has such respect for her. It's incredible. When he's talking to the Kirbys, she can be standing right in front of him and asking him a question, and he looks past her and answers her husband, who's sitting behind her. And it's that way throughout the whole movie. Alan Grant does not respect her. He doesn't look her in the eyes. And I'm like, if our main character, if the guy that we're supposed to identify with and really care for, our hero, doesn't care about her.
How do we care about him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do we? And knowing that she's Taya Leone, that just...
It's disappointing.
It's very disappointing.
I mean, she has one strong moment.
Oh, yeah. Please remind me of when it is.
When the one who stole the eggs?
Billy. The grad student. So now Ellie, who was the grad student in the first one, we now have her represented as Billy in the third one.
And her strong moment to me was when the raptor knew that she had to go to the woman to get the eggs.
Right.
She thinks you stole the eggs.
Get behind me.
Give me the eggs. And then she passed over the eggs to the raptor. That was her one thought.
The one strong line. It was the only reason that she needed to be there.
Yeah.
Because even when Billy is calling for it, when everybody gets separated, Billy's calling out, Mr. Kirby, Mr. Kirby, is Amanda with you? He's not going, Mr. Kirby, Amanda. Like, and again, it's Mr. Kirby and Amanda. It's not Mr. Kirby, Mrs. Kirby. It's not, he's not using the first names. They don't respect her until that moment.
Yeah.
Like you said, when suddenly it's like, you guys don't respect me, but the female raptor respects me, so give me the eggs so I can save our butts.
Right.
That's it. Yeah, so that's, what, 30 seconds in the entire
Pretty
movie?
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm sorry, did Steven Spielberg direct this one too?
No, he did not. Joe Johnston, I want to say, who had wanted to direct two, but Steven wanted to do that, so he got three. I don't know if that, since this is the first one that is based solely on itself, it's not based on even okay. source material that's being written at the same time. It's, you know, you don't have any other thing to look at. But I don't know if that's how it was originally written, if they didn't see that. I don't know. And to me, when I don't know how involved somebody like Kathleen Kennedy would be in this, but she's such a strong force in Spielberg's whole company.
Universe.
His, yeah, his universe. Did anybody look at this and see that? I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, she has one strong moment, and that's it. And it's her only purpose for being there. Otherwise, she's yelling when she shouldn't be. She's screaming. Like, when the skeleton drops, I get that the skeleton of your boyfriend dropping on you is kind of freaky, but she doesn't stop. I started thinking of Karen Allen in Indiana Jones. She had an entire wall of skeletons falling on top of her. You know, after she's just run from snakes, she's allowed to yell a little bit more than you with one where you can back, and then she runs. She constantly runs away from everything. I'm like, there's dinosaurs all over the place. If nothing else, stop running so you don't run into their, you know, dino doo-doo. You never know what's around the corner. If you have not seen three, I will say some of the action sequences are really great. We do get to see Laura Dern again, very briefly. I wish we'd seen her more. We see her at the beginning with Alan. And
she saves Alan's ass again.
And she saves the day because he calls her, because she does tell him, you know, like, if you need me, let me know. You're terrible at doing that. You're terrible at asking for help. If you need help, let me know. I have to admit, when I did first see it, I was like, oh, no. I do see it. She was also strong enough to go, however much I care for Alan, he doesn't want what I want outside of the paleontology.
Mm-hmm.
She finds somebody else and gets married and has the kids that she wanted to have. And I remember when I originally saw it, I was like, really? She had to just, that's how they had to deal with her? She goes off and gets married and has kids. But then I see it's like, no, she
it's
did
what
it.
She wanted.
It's what she wanted. And she's like, I'm not getting it from him, so I'm not going to stick around.
Again, strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
Ambitious, yet maternal.
Mm-hmm. You can be both, people. You can. And like you said, she's the one that figured, because the call that he did was just Ellie, because it went underwater and all this. She figures it out, and she doesn't just save him. She sends in the Marines and the Air Force and the Army. You know, everybody comes to save her. I do like when Eric, the little kid, says,
"You have to thank her now. She sent the Navy and the Marines."
I guess you're gonna have to say something now. It's like, yes, please. How valuable she is. That's really all the Jurassic Park. I mean, if you want to see some good thrill rides, some of the stuff that was supposed to be in the first movie, because it was in the book, they reused in different ones. And like the, you know, in two, when the dinosaur comes through, the T-Rex comes through the curtain of water and all that. Those were...
Yeah, I remember in the book.
The raft that, one was also
yeah,
from... Yeah,
the Avery.
Yeah,
and the
Avery.
The third.
Mm-hmm. The Aviary, that was cool. It was basically a chance to use some of those cool things that they didn't get to in the first one to two movies. And that's really all it is. And try not to think about De Leone's character, because it's just very disappointing. So somebody that a lot of other people think is very disappointing is in Jurassic World. And this is our main character, Claire Deering, played by Bryce Dallas Howard. I will say, for if anybody has any negative things to say about Jurassic World, which I'm not going to say that it's the end-all, be-all movie of all time, but I don't have as much negative stuff to say because I enjoyed it thoroughly. It does have the most female characters, because we do have Claire, we have Vivian Krill, played by Lauren Lapkus, we have Zara Young, playing Katie McGrath, and we have Karen Mitchell, played by Judy Greer. So we actually have the most female talking roles in Jurassic World. twice as many as in other movies. So, I mean, first off, yay!
Got two more than the others.
Yeah, of course, there's a lot more guys in this movie, too, so it still kind of balances out about the same. But at least we have a little more diversity. The first one we actually meet is Karen Mitchell, which is Judy Greer. That's the mom. So we have another divorce happening, and she's sending her two kids off to go be with her aunt.
I'm really proud of you for going on this trip.
You're going to have so much fun.
And remember, something chases you.
I've heard, and Jennifer knows this because I was reading the article while she was there, and I think you were actually like, will you stop reading this and talk to me? And I'm like, I can't believe what they're saying. I just kept going through basically how she was the bad character because she was foisting her children onto her sister who obviously didn't want to have the kids. I'm like, your sisters, you haven't seen the kids in 7 years or the family in 7 years. You're going through a hard time. You need time. If Claire really didn't want the kids, she could have said no.
And she works at Jurassic World for kids.
I know. So I didn't like that they're putting this on her, that she's putting upon her sister. Like, whatever. She's going through a hard time. Nieces and nephews go and visit aunts and uncles.
All the time.
In normal families. Although we don't have a niece in this one. We have two boys. Because I guess girls aren't as interested in dinosaurs. Did it work better having the two kids as two boys?
To me, it didn't make a difference. I mean, I liked them both. You know what I mean? I like the kids. It didn't bother me that they were both boys.
No. But, yeah.
Maybe they didn't want to resemble the first one as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of having another boy and another girl, you know, boy and girl sister kind of thing, they just said, let's have two boys this time.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they said, well, we've got four female characters now, so we're done. We're topped off.
Why not two girls?
Yeah, exactly. Why couldn't we have two girls? Because we wouldn't have done some of the things that the boys did. Hey, let's go off track.
Probably wouldn't have done that.
So Judy Greer, the complaints is that this wonderful actress, who she is, Judy Greer is a wonderful actress, gets basically a know-nothing role. And Bryce Dallas Howard is our leading lady, Claire Dearing, who is a hard-working professional who is so focused on her career that she hasn't seen her family in 7 years, that she isn't as observant. Like when the kids come, she's like, oh, my assistant will take care of you because I've got this big meeting, that she's running around in this white top and skirt and heels. And, you know, there's a lot of these kind of criticisms about her character being written like that. Agree? Disagree?
I agree in the fact that, you know, she is ambitious, but what I don't like is that because she's portrayed as ambitious in her career, that she can't have any maternal instincts whatsoever.
Self-centered. Although she kind of is self-centered, but she, it comes out later that she's not.
See, I took her kind of actually as the female counterpoint to Dr. Alan Grant, who is so focused on his career. That's his love. That's his career. And knowing what it can be like for women in the workplace where you have to do everything a man does and more, in many cases, to be taken even remotely seriously. She's high up.
Yeah.
She's running this whole thing. And she's got the, you know, this guy, what's his name? That is Simon Masrani, who is the big millionaire guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell he totally trusts her. He totally is cool with everything she's doing. And while he can go off and do the fun playboy things like flying the helicopter, even though he doesn't have his license yet and such like that, he trusts her to run everything.
Oh, it's white. You don't tell him it was white.
Think it'll scare the kids?
The kids? This will give the parents nightmares.
Is that good?
I really took it more just she got so focused on it that she honestly hasn't thought about that side. You know, day in, day out, it just wasn't there. I don't think she's consciously going, ah, ha, ha, 7 years that I haven't had to see the kids. I think it's just time has flown by. And I think she also is thinking that it's not a big deal because, hey, we are a Jurassic World. What can possibly happen? And I've got these big head honchos here that could make or break.
Yeah.
So it's okay if they're with my sister for today. Tomorrow, I'll be with you all day.
I don't have a problem with ambitious women and career-driven women, but I think I do have a little bit of an issue when what's shown is it's almost like a portrayal of somebody who you can't have. To have the one, you can't have the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kind of...
I totally understand that, and I buy that. If this took place over, with the exception of Christmas time that we see this as Christmas, by the way, this is a Christmas movie, so... Yeah, I'm sure this will be coming out just in time for holiday gift giving. With the exception of that scene, and then I would guess the scene at the end, everything else takes place in one day. So I guess I also kind of look at it as, I don't think you can get a full slice of the character.
Well, no,
when
I
you're talking
agree with
about
you.
One day.
I would agree with you with that. Because she comes out at the end of it, and she realizes that she can be maternal, and she does have those instincts in her.
Mm-hmm. I actually really liked her. I mean, there's a lot of criticisms, like the focus of the shot of her running in heels. Now, something that I did read Bryce Dallas Howard did say, they actually made athletic wedges for her that they painted to look like the shoes so that when she did have to run, she could wear those. She actually twisted her ankle in those shoes. It was much easier to run in the heels, and it made sense because that's what my character was wearing. And when she did get that, oh my gosh, my nephews are out there. I have to get to them. If she had stopped to say, let me change my clothes, you know, I've got to put on my sneakers and running gear, that would have been ridiculous. She didn't even think about that. She's like, I got to get to them. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. So I don't know. There's people that criticize the... I mean, I've seen shots of guys running when they're being chased by something big.
Well, and coming from the fashion world, if she wore those all her adult life, if she's used to wearing that, I mean, I know women who wear heels every day and they can do stuff like that in it because they're just used to it. You and I, who wear gym shoes and flip-flops and stuff, and then we wear the occasional heel? No.
Ow.
No, I would probably rip those suckers off and run around barefoot.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be dino meat.
Yes. I mean, obviously, she dresses nice at work. She probably dresses like that every single day. She's not in the dinosaur poop or cleaning cages or anything. She's a head honcho, so she has to look the part. She probably wears stuff like that every day. She's probably used to running around in those. So, you know, cut her some slack, you know.
Yeah.
She grew up wearing those, and you know, she would be good wearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, because like you said, there's people that wear them all the time. There's people that can't run in flip-flops. For as much as I can run in flip-flops. Not slippers, but flip-flops. Because I wear them all the time. So.
You know what Jurassic World reminds me of? It reminds me of Romancing the Stone.
Should have just knocked the heels off.
Yeah.
Of course, the guy did that. But yeah, it did. It's Kathleen Turner. Through all the jungle in her flouncy little blouse and skirt that kept getting a little higher and higher slit as it went up. You know, when people criticize her maternal side, I'm like, well, first off, she is an aunt. And not saying that aunts can't love their nieces and nephews totally deeply. I mean, all three of us here are aunts. And I do. I would do anything for my nephew. And I would go out there, I would do the stupid stuff to go and try and find him. If he was stupid enough to go off the track and not listen when it was time to come back in your little cool rolling gyro ball thingy and go through all that kind of stuff, I would go out to find him as well. But I think also in the end, when I'm there comforting them, when mom and dad show up, those are their kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy and everything, but... these are your kids, and this is your time. So to me, I guess I really saw the aunt side of it, too, that she can have this connection without it having to be my kids. And another criticism was that Judy Greer's character is basically like, oh, you'll find someone, you'll have a family. Well, of course they do. I'm like, well, I have a lot of married friends or friends with kids. They're like, oh, it'll happen. You'll find someone, and you'll have kids, and I'm like, I'm good with aunt. It's something I see a lot of married couples doing. They want you to have what they have, for good or bad. Yes, no?
No, I don't think it's a critical of her character.
Overall, I liked how Bryce did the part. I think she was having to balance Chris Pratt, who was very much our hero on the motorcycle. I mean, face it, he's the one on the poster. All the other Jurassic Park ones are pretty much just an ad for the park and the claws and the dinosaurs, and here we actually have him. So, you know, we know who the focus really is of the movie. It really is Chris Pratt, you know, the Indiana Jones of dinosaurs there. I overall really liked her character. I liked how she was portrayed. And there's some changes I could see that, yeah, maybe. But I think some of those changes would have helped if this could have taken place over more than one day.
Yeah, she, her journey is interesting because you're right. I think you got to look at her overall journey and where she started and where she ended with the day. And I really liked Jurassic World as well. I mean, I thought it was very entertaining and fun. I liked Jurassic Park better, the original, largely because I think there's... I like the portrayal of the woman in Jurassic Park better
than
I do in Jurassic World.
I think that's, like, I like those moments when they have time to pause and reflect where it's not just action, 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 action. We have to constantly go. Yeah. I think those reflecting times are those moments when we get to see those other sides. Maybe if we'd had time to have that flea circus kind of moment with Claire, maybe we would have seen her be able to say something more than just... you know, trying to put up with this guy who obviously they have an attraction, but they've been together once, but not again. But yes, they will, but no, they won't.
Just went and made a new dinosaur?
Yeah, it's kind of what we do here. The exhibit opens to the public in 3 weeks. Mr. Mizrani wanted me to consult with you.
You want to consult here or in my bungalow?
It's not funny.
Little funny.
We'd like you to evaluate the paddock for vulnerabilities.
Why me?
I guess Mr. Mizrani thinks since you're able to control the raptors.
See, it's all about control with you. I don't control the raptors. It's a relationship. It's based on mutual respect. That's why you and I never had a second date.
Excuse me, I never wanted a second date.
Who prints out an itinerary for a night out?
I'm an organized person.
Now, what kind of a diet doesn't allow tequila?
All of them, actually. And what kind of a man shows up to a date in board shorts?
It's Central America, it's hot.
Okay, okay, can we just focus on the asset, please?
The asset? Look, I get it. You're in charge out here, you gotta make a lot of tough decisions. It's probably easier to pretend these animals are just numbers on a spreadsheet, but they're not. They're alive.
I'm fully aware they're alive.
You might have made them in a test tube, but they don't know that. They're thinking, I gotta eat, I gotta hunt, I gotta... You can relate to at least one of those things, right?
Romantic relationship between the two of them. I mean, at least they had something beforehand, so it didn't just develop because of this one day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you have liked that better if they'd only gotten together because of the one day? Or do you think they should have not gotten together at all?
Didn't play into it for me.
No, me neither.
There was another romantic tension that I really liked because it added a great moment of levity. And that was Vivian Krill, who was the woman in the big computer war room there next to... What was the guy's name? He's on New Girl.
Yeah, you know, the little dinosaurs, honestly.
Yeah.
And he was wearing the Jurassic Park shirt.
Jurassic Park t-shirt. Yeah. They added this nice little moments of levity to this and kind of that geekiness and that little bit to us. We have this moment when they're evacuating and he goes in for the kiss on her. And she's like, well, I have a boyfriend. What are you doing?
That was funny.
It was a fun little moment, I think. I'm sad that that's one of the only other ways we can get a female character. But at least we did have somebody.
Oh, you're forgetting about the female character, the one that died.
Yes. Well, that would be Zara Young, our Katie McGrath, her assistant.
Yes.
Who was a little bit more stereotypical, I think, in a lot of ways of the assistant. And, go ahead, talk about her.
The one and only female character to die in 4 Jurassic Park movies.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very true. Yeah. We had many casualties of our guests who we don't care about, but that's kind of like...
She died quite cruelly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not because of any stupidity on her part. I mean, she just was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, and she was trying to help the kids.
Yeah, she was trying to help the kids. It wasn't like she was Tia Leone screaming into a megaphone.
Yeah, there's all these other people running around her, you know, hundreds mm-hmm. and hundreds of people that are running. And she, of course, is the one that gets picked upon and flown up and batted about. And then that great big, I can't remember.
Comes out of the water.
Yeah, our Shamu moment.
Yeah, that was a brutal death for Jurassic Park, I would say.
But you're right. That is of other than background. Mm-hmm. People, she is our only death. So rest in peace, Zara Young. You're the last one listed with a Z. Maybe that was the key too. Her initials are ZY. She's right at the end of the alphabet.
There you go.
She just, sorry, it was, we're going down the line. We still need somebody to kill off, and it's you. Poor girl. Poor girl. So the only other female characters we have are our thousands of dinosaurs. So I guess in the end, woman does rule
the earth.
Yeah.
Because inherits the earth. I think the quote is.
I think woman does inherit the earth then. Well, yes. At least inherits Isla Sorna and Isla Nublar, the two islands. Although the sequel, I mean, they are talking about future sequels for this, and they are talking about taking it off island. So it's not something that always happens on island, because there's only so much, I guess, you can really do with that. We have the military, obviously, opened up. So we have the potential, I think, of some stereotypical female soldier characters coming up there. Where else could they take this? I mean, if we're not going to be on island, we've already been to San Diego, although Jurassic World is kind of forgetting Jurassic Park 2, at the very least. Maybe not 3, but it's definitely forgetting 2, I think, because there was no mention about dinosaurs in San Diego. Where else could we take this?
Do you have any ideas?
No, because you don't want it back in the city again.
No, I think that would end up being too much like 2, which unless was about it's, King Kong, it's like really. A
Doctor Who thing, dinosaurs on a spaceship.
That's true.
Dinosaurs in the zombie apocalypse. They could combine Walking Dead and Jurassic World and together.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Well, it's been hinted at that it could be dinosaurs. It could involve dinosaurs being used by other companies for non-entertainment purposes, like agriculture, medicine, and war. Trevorrow said that he really liked the idea that this group of geneticists aren't the only people who can make a dinosaur. When you think of the differences between Apple and PC, the minute something goes open source, there are all kinds of entities and interests that might be able to utilize that technology. This makes me actually think of the end of Jurassic Park, the first one. Well, not end. It's 3/4 of the way through when Nedry tries to escape and ends up getting killed by the one dinosaur. The embryos that he stole in the Burma shave can is just there on the island. And to me, that was always such a big thing that they were opening up for potential sequels. But so we could be getting some evil scientists or good scientists mm-hmm. that are coming into this. Yeah, maybe war-torn regions. I don't know. I like the idea of like jungles because the dinosaurs coming out. Like the one with the Indominus Rex, where it had the cloaking ability almost. Mm-hmm. Because I remember us looking at this. Yeah, we were looking at this and we all suddenly went, oh, there's a dinosaur there.
So I wonder how they're going to top it, you know, because they're always taking it to the next level. And this was like a genetically new dinosaur that was created. So what's next?
Mm-hmm. That's true, because we're talking about a dinosaur that nobody thought was a big deal. Yeah, Indominus Rex, yeah, whatever.
And so what are they going to make up next?
Yeah, because, I mean, they kept doing the topping, trying to top mm-hmm. each other with the Spinosaur, which was bigger in Jurassic Park 3. It's even bigger than the T-Rex. I do like that Rexy and the Raptors became friends in the
save
end
the day.
And saved the day. Yeah. Yay, Rexy!
Did you notice that the dinosaurs in Jurassic World actually have feathers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of cool.
Going for that whole, we're seeing how that really is.
Yeah.
There is talk that Trevorrow said that he would be interested in seeing a Jurassic Park film made by one of several Spanish horror film directors, no names mentioned. So maybe it would be a Walking Dead. How would female dinosaurs fare in the land of The Walking Dead? Maybe we can get some of those into Alexandria. Could be kind of interesting.
They'd have to get teleported in.
This, despite some of the criticisms we said, I really do love the idea of Jurassic Park and this whole series. It's got a good action to it. I just would like to see the women treated better, more like how Dr. Ellie Sattler was. She's gotten the respect. I think she's the main character that's gotten the respect in all the female characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the writing needs to be more like that for her.
You know, over the course of this talk, I was thinking back to Kelly, mm-hmm. and I remembered her moment, her gymnastics moment.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Look out! Look out! Watch out! Up here! Up here! Up here!
Kelly?
Kelly, no!
Boy, it took me this whole conversation to remember that.
Yeah, that took you about 40 minutes to get to that point. That's not good.
Were they sitting around going, okay, she has to do something. Like, yeah. What do girls do?
Ballet,
gymnastics. Hey, yeah.
She can
forget the computer geek. She can, like, double flip and pole vault over the dinosaur.
Oh, I'd love to see that, you know, just right up and up with the T-Rex with the little arms going, I can't reach you. That would be good. Maybe if our assistant, Zara Young, had a little bit more.
Of a lengthy life.
Maybe she'd have some more gymnastic skills.
Yeah, she might have.
You know, gone from pterodon to pterodon and then up, I don't know, swimming. If she'd had swimming skills, she might have fared a little bit better. Overall, I do really love the series as a whole. I have to admit, it's one of the only ones that I have gone to see on opening day and paid full price, because as these two ladies will attest, I generally don't pay full price for any movie.
This is true.
Thanks for your backup there, Doreen. Any final thoughts on the women of Jurassic Park?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. I can't think of anything.
I would say overall, our favorite female characters from the movies are Dr. Ellie Sattler.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
And the dinosaurs.
Yes.
Well, and I like Lex.
And Lex.
Yeah, and Lex.
So it's Jurassic Park, the first one, and then all of the dinosaurs, because they're pretty darn awesome. They're the ones that figured out that the woman is who you need to be taking seriously.
They even managed to figure out how to have sex.
Exactly. They figured out how to make boys that they like. So these are smart women. I have much more respect for them there. We would love to hear what you think about the women of Jurassic Park. You can let us know by emailing us, scififorchicks@scififorme.com. You can also call us on our hotline. We would love to hear what you have to say, and maybe we'll play them on future episodes. That's 573-427-2434. 573-42-SCI-FI, and of course, go and follow us on Twitter @SciFiForChicks, and let us know what you think about this using the hashtag Women of Genre, and you can add in there hashtag Jurassic Park so we know which one you're talking about. Make sure and go over to SciFiForMe.com and check out all the fun stuff going on over there, and then go subscribe to Sci-Fi for Chicks so you don't miss some of our future shows. Like I said, we have The Women of Walking Dead, which is me, Doreen, and Jennifer joining again. We converted Jennifer to The Walking Dead a few months ago.
It wasn't too hard.
We're going to be talking about The Women of Grimm. That was another one Doreen was on, and Doctor Who and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We got a lot of fun things coming up, so we would love to hear from you. So subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Sci-Fi for Chicks, or the podcast platform of your choice. Thank you, ladies, for joining me in this talk.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
And we will catch you on the next episode of Sci-Fi for Chicks.
This is magnificent.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's how it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming.
On our next episode, the ladies talk about the women of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What they've done here with this program feels natural. It doesn't feel forced.
Actually, the female characters are what proves to me that it's not a Joss Whedon show. They are women who are not defined by their kick-ass skills.
Maybe that's their way of starting to prime the audience and get them used to these women who can be in leadership roles, so that then they will be able to have strong numbers for female-led movies.
S.H.I.E.L.D. showed us that we can have awesome female characters who are at the center of things within the universe, and it actually works. So if they thought we wouldn't want Black Widow, they are wrong.
That's next time on Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.